are spirit. Number one, more than anything else, you are a spirit. You possess a soul. It's connected to your spirit. And you happen to occupy a body. You are a spirit. I'm a spirit. Well, you just let there little be a little pain in your toe, and you'll start thinking, I'm a body. Let me tell you, I know I'm a body. I got a body, and it's calling my name. So I'm a body. And that's all you see is the body. Got a sore on your hand. You got a burr on your hand. You got a something broke. Oh, I'm a body. That's all I am, is a body. I'm all body. Let me tell you the how loud that body can scream at you. You're all about the body then, right?
Right.
All about the body. But the Word of God says, Paul said in his writing, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
But if you don't know how powerful and big your spirit is, you're a very powerful being. I'm here to tell you, God created you in His image, in His likeness, and you're a very powerful being.
Amen.
In the Spirit. Your body's limited. Your body is physically limited to earth. You're earthbound beings in the body. But let me tell you, in your spirit, you can go places in the spirit. You can visit heaven in your spirit. You can talk to God. You can talk to angels. You can communicate with the Holy Ghost in your spirit. But to be God inside minded is what that's all about. And that's got to be the most important part that you focus on. Because you got to learn. This is a learning process. Just like this baby's learning to be good in church. I had 3 babies. I know how to raise babies. And I took every one of them to church. Every single Sunday night. Every single Wednesday night. And I drive up 50 miles to go to church by myself in all kinds of weather. But my kids went to church. Screaming and puking and everything else. Because I knew I needed something that was there. I knew I had to get it. And his kids weren't going to keep me from getting it because it was to their benefit that their mother had a right mind. You don't want me not in church. I mean, I'm telling you, you do not want to see me not in church. I'm telling him a lot better in church than out of church. And I had these 3 kids to raise. And these kids would get sick. Don't you think the devil doesn't know how to keep you out of church? Oh, I'm sick, Mom. I'm so sick. Oh, I can't go to church today. And they're thinking, I ain't going to have to go to church today because I'm so sick. And you know what Mom said? We'll just take you to church and get you healed. But I'm puking, Mom. I don't care. I got a fever. I don't care. You're going to get healed. What do you think healing is? It's in the church. It's supposed to be in the church. So I pack him kids up. And my son to this day still remembers throwing up all the way to church. Getting into the church. Now, you know what pastors did with someone like me? My kid is sick. I need you to get him healed. I bring him to the altar. Pray, get this kid healed. They wasn't used to that. Like, oh, there's germs. I got to lay hands on this puking kid. And they did it. And amazingly, wow, God healed my kid. And Brian can remember. He's 34 years old this year. And he remembers being a little boy at 7 years old and going to the Assemblies of God. We were in the Stringtown Assemblies of God. And he remembers going to that Royal Rangers or whatever they do.
Yeah.
The Royal Rangers. He remembers getting up and playing with them. I remember being so sick, Mom. And I was so sick. And they prayed for me. And I was healed. Now, that makes an impact on a child.
Mm-hmm.
Because they begin to realize, hey, there's more to serving God than just going to church. God's a real God. We're going there for a reason. We're not just going to have a party or have a get together or have a little social gathering. We're there to hear from God because you're a spirit. You possess a soul and you just happen to occupy a body that lives in a functioning in this world. Thank goodness you got a body, because if you wasn't a body, you'd be a disembodied spirit like demons are, and you wouldn't be able to communicate very well with each other. You'd be outside your body trying to get somebody's attention and they wouldn't be able to see you. You need your body to walk around in.
Amen.
But this is not the real you. This is going to be laid down one day. The real you is the real you. And you got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. You got to learn this. This is something you got to learn to do. You got to learn to talk in the Spirit. I'm talking sit, walk, and stand. You got to learn how to do it all in the Spirit. You got to learn how to believe in the Spirit because it's in your spirit that you believe. You got to learn how to live in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is about functioning in the Spirit. Walk in your body. No, we're walking in the Spirit today. God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Some of the most important words Jesus ever said to the Pharisees was that you must be born again. You must be born again. You don't have a choice in this if you want to be in the Spirit. Because only those of people that are born again can operate through their human spirit and walk in the Spirit. Their spirit. Now, a lot of people, let me share some scriptures with you. I've got several scriptures written down this morning. I want to go to First Corinthians chapter 14. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just go to that chapter for a few minutes. It talks about the Spirit. A lot of people do not know the difference in the Holy Spirit and their spirit, the real them. The real you. The real you is a spirit now, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. He being the person, and he being the one speaking, he being the one with the tongue that's making the noise. Speaking makes noise. I mean, I'm talking and I'm speaking, so I'm making sounds. So when you speak in an unknown tongue, your spirit speaketh mysteries, divine secrets. In other words, your head ain't gonna get this. It's not comprehensible in your head comprehension banks. It's spiritual. Because you're a spirit. And there's a lot of things about the spirit realm you don't understand yet. I don't understand yet. But I'm on my way. Say, I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
You better get on your way to understanding what's out there in the spirit realm.
Amen.
There's things that are going to kill you out there in the spirit realm. It's important to understand the spirit realm. You got to understand that you're commanded to walk in the Spirit. It's not an option. Walk in the Spirit. You got to learn to live in the Spirit. Your human spirit is a real part of you. It is the main part of you. I love the body of Christ. Let me say this. I love the body of Christ. I think I was sharing with you the other day about how Jesus foresaw the church in the earth. There was no church in the earth until Jesus went to the cross. But Jesus knew the mission. He knew the plan was to create and build a church. The church is his body in the earth. It's him in the earth. It's us working and moving through his spirit in the earth. He envisioned. You know, you can't build something if you don't envision it. You can't build a house if you don't see what it looks like ahead of time. You can't make blueprints. You got to have a plan. You're going to build a house, you better have a plan. Amen. Jesus had a plan that he was going to build his church. His church. It's Jesus' church. It ain't nobody's church. I don't own this church. The Methodists don't own the church. The Presbyterians don't own the church. I'm telling you, if they're born again of the Spirit of God, they are his, and it's his church. I don't care what name you put up, what kind of shingles over your door. That's a blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. And you better not be talking about your brothers just because they don't believe right or think right or talk right. They're still the church. Jesus paid a price for that church. So the church is a powerful part of God in the earth. And he's getting ready to raise up his church. He's raising them up Do you know Baptists are getting filled with the Holy Ghost? Methodists are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it's happening all over the world. People are coming to revelation of the Spirit of God in them. In them. God has got a church. And he's waking us up to realize we are a powerful force in the earth because we have been given a third part of the Godhead to live in us. Now, if every single believer had a revelation, full revelation of how powerful they were because of who's on board. See, it ain't because of me. It's because who's on board in me. Amen. I'm powerful. I'm a threat to the devil. I'm a threat to the kingdom of darkness because of who's on board. I got somebody on board. The same one who raised Jesus from the dead is in me. Now, to the degree that I loose him, to the degree I allow him to work through me, has a lot to do with what happens in my life. Right. You can suppress him. You can, and he's such a sweet gentleman. He will not come along and tell you how to run your house because this happens to be my body. He doesn't come in and push and shove his way around like some people do. He doesn't manipulate you. He doesn't try to get his way, even though he can step back and you can be grieving him so bad. And he will say in his, I know the Holy Spirit, I don't like this, Teresa. I'm grieved here watching this show. I'm telling you, Holy Spirit will back off and be very quiet and take his back seat and he'll let you run the show. But if you ever need him, he's called the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one that has been sent to go along beside you. He's your helper. He's there in me to help me. He is the one who is resident in me. But if you don't know he's there, you're not going to operate. If you don't even know you're a spirit, how are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you? How are you going to believe God for anything? Let me move on here about some script. Bring some scriptures. Okay, let's stay in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays." My spirit prays. Amen. I thought it was my head praying. I thought it was my tongue praying. I thought it was me praying. No, it's you, but it's your spirit praying. Now, how powerful is that to get a grip on? Get on your knee bones and let your spirit pray. I have a feeling that's a prayer that's going to be heard in heaven because God's a spirit, right? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you think your spirit is going to pray wrong? If you're allowing your spirit to pray, I think your spirit knows things your head doesn't know yet. You are a spirit. And you got the capacity to pray. Your spirit prays. Your spirit prays. Oh, I'm so thankful I know this. I'm so thankful I know this. And I've been knowing this for many years, but my spirit prays. Not the Holy Ghost. A lot of people got to wait on unction of the Holy Ghost before they ever speak in tongues. I'm going to tell you what. I'm just prayed in my spirit. I have a language that the Holy Spirit gave me, but it's my language and it's my spirit that's praying because it's my language. It's my spiritual language. You have an earthly language. You happen to be born in America, an English-speaking country. If you were born in Mexico, you got a native tongue. Don't you know heaven has a native tongue? Heaven has many tongues. This is a heavenly language. The Holy Ghost came in your spirit, occupied a place in you, your spirit, and gave you a language that your spirit now can pray. That's about as best as I can explain it. You ever had any questions about praying in tongues? There it is. And I'll tell you what, if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you've got the gift of tongues and you're not praying, shame on you. Because you're not utilizing the most powerful weapon that the Holy Ghost in you wants to use. Now, Holy Ghost is not praying. It's you praying. He'll help you. He'll help you pray. He's working with your spirit because he's a Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit is the same part of the Godhead who raised Jesus from the dead? That song, like it says, he's the one. But Jesus said, I'm going away. He told the disciples in St. John, he said, I'm going away. Let's go to St. John. He said, I'm going away. But I'm not going to leave you alone. St. John chapter 14. I'm just going to, you know, when you get a hold of something that's very, very valuable, you do not let it go. I got a revelation grip on something years ago, and I have not let it go. It's my revelation. Now, the devil don't want me to keep it. He'd like to steal it from me, but there's things and jewels and gems and garnets and rubies and special gifts of God that he'll give you, and you don't let them go. You don't let the treasures that God has put in you, revelation treasures, ever go. And you learn to walk in them. You walk in the spiritual things. You learn to walk in the Spirit. You learn to pray in the Spirit. Your spirit prays. Your spirit believes. Your spirit does a lot of things. And you may not even be aware of it yet. Because you're still all about your body. You're all about what's going on around you. The outside of us. Our circumstances. Our situations. Glory to God. I mean, all that stuff's important. I know we got to eat and all that mess. But I'm telling you, sometimes I wish I didn't have to eat. It takes a lot of time, a lot of money. Wouldn't it be nice not to have a grocery bill?
Yes.
I used to go through the grocery line thinking, yeah, if we just didn't have to eat. I didn't have to, can't feed them kids. I didn't have to cook this food. But we have to eat. That's part of functioning. But you know what? Folks don't realize that you got to eat the spiritual things too. And that's the most important thing. So St. John chapter 14 is where I want to go. And it's in verse 12. Let's start with verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus is talking to his disciples before he went to the cross. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. We've been talking about that in Pentecost for years. Well, when are we ever going to see these greater works than Jesus did? Well, how is it possible that we could do greater works than Jesus? A lot of people want to limit it to, well, we got cell phones and they didn't have cell phones. I mean, they want to limit it to the natural realm, but I'm telling you, this is all about the Spirit. Jesus, everything Jesus did, he did it by the Holy Spirit because he had the Holy Spirit without measure. He occupied all of the offices of the ministry without measure. No one will ever stand in all the offices like Jesus did. He was in a class all of his own. Because he's the chief cornerstone, remember. But he said that if you just believe on me, right. Believe. You see, I know that if I could get my believer in gear and start believing, it's my believer. I'm the one's got to believe. And I can talk a good talk, but it's about the walk. It's about the walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You believe in the Spirit. Everything you're going to do in God is going to be in the Spirit. Your flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Your flesh profits nothing. You think you're going to impress God with all your crying and boo-hooing and begging? It don't impress God. But believing impresses God. And you can only believe in your human spirit. So he goes on and he says, "What verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Can I just take a little side journey here real quick? Jesus is instituting a new way of thinking to these Jewish men. These Judean fishermen followed all of the old covenant, who kept every law, who was mindful of the synagogues and, you know, Jewish mindset. Now he's introducing a whole new way of life to them. And it's you see, you understand that these men are his foundation of his church that he's building. These men are his men, his foundation men. And he's got to instruct them some very important instructions before he leaves the planet Earth to go to the Father. And all of those years, they had prayed through, had to do some sacrificing first. And Jesus is getting ready to leave them. And in fact, in one place, he tells them, it's expedient that I go away. Oh, please don't go away. Jesus, you can't go away. He says, you don't even know what you're talking about. It's very important I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm taking a side trip for a moment. So you have to understand this, that Jesus has to, the church was being birthed. The church was just, hadn't even been birthed yet. Couldn't exist yet. Until Jesus went to the cross, until Jesus died, first he had to take on all sickness and all diseases on that whipping post. All of Isaiah 53 had to be fulfilled. He was literally fulfilling prophetic promises as Messiah. The deliverer. He bore our sickness. He carried our diseases. And by his stripes, you were healed. All of that's prophetic. So Jesus was in the process of knowing what his mission on earth was. But he also had a blueprint and a plan, and he knew that the church was going to be birthed. And these men were given instructions for 3.5 years. He was preparing them to be the foundational ministers of the church. Do you know it took 10 years before the Gentiles ever had, or maybe even longer than 10 years. I'm not sure if they really know how long, but it was at least 10 years. You don't see it until I believe Acts chapter 9 and 10, where Peter had the vision, because they were under Jewish mindset that you couldn't even talk to a Gentile. So the Gentiles never had the gospel preached to them for at least 10 years while the church was being birthed and developed. So we have to remember, this is the beginnings of something big. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Y'all know that verse in Matthew? Upon this rock, knowing who he is, the Son of God. I'm just taking a side trip here for a minute. To help you understand this verse right here. Because they heard him say this to them. He knew he was very short amount of time with them, getting ready to go to the Father. And he knew that they would not understand. Remember, Peter was the one who denied him. They all ran off and fled from him. They watched him die. He told them, you're going to pray and ask the Father anything you ask the Father in my name. He told them that they were used to doing the greater works. They were sent out, the 70 was sent out, and they saw the miracles. They saw the power of God. But this is about a way of life, a way of living. No longer would there be an old covenant to live by. There was getting ready to be a new covenant to live by. But God always shared with me and spoke to me, you live in the new. This is where you live. You live in the epistles. These were written to the church. The epistles. We're talking the letters of Paul to the Gentiles. That's where you live. I'm not a Jew under the old law. And neither are we, none of us are. In fact, when Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished, he was talking about the old Mosaic law. Amen. It's finished. Mm-hmm. It says that every ordinance and every law and everything was nailed to his body on that tree. Read Colossians. And it talks about how that he took it out of the way. Now, a lot of people do not understand that, but we're talking very spiritual here. Jesus talking spiritual here to these guys. And when they came to him, no, I'm still on this side trip. When they came to him, a few years before this, right here, they asked him, teach us how to pray. Still Jewish covenant men, old covenant men. Well, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They're praying about the kingdom coming, right? And they all knew the Messiah was coming. That kingdom's coming to the earth. And then he begins, he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. Amen. 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 There's no Jesus name there, is there? Because they could never have prayed in Jesus' name at that point in time. It took Jesus going to the cross and being raised from the dead before you could ever operate in the authority of the name through prayer. So under the old covenant, that was the best he could give them at the time. But a time is coming, and he's getting ready to leave. The time is coming. He said, this is how you're going to have to pray. And you're going to pray in my name. Couldn't pray in his name until he died, because the new covenant had not been birthed yet. The new birth hadn't come forth yet. So there's a new birth coming. A new whole new way of life. A whole new institution called the church is getting ready to be birthed. And the Holy Spirit is very much a part of this. Big picture. Very big picture. And so he goes on and says in St. John 14, if you shall ask, remember, shall ahead of time. Now when this all is all said and done, when you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. I know him. I'm very God inside minded being. I wasn't always a very God inside minded being. But I'm a very God inside minded Christian. I know I'm not alone in this body. Now you might treat him like a stepchild. You might treat him like an unwanted visitor. You might not accommodate him very well, but I'm telling you, you are not alone. Your most secret moments, he's nobody's right there in you. He's in you. He's on board. Isn't that good to know? Especially if you got a problem. So, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In you.
Amen.
Where does he live? In you. At that time when Jesus was talking to the disciples, the Holy Spirit, all they understood was he's in the temple in Jerusalem. You got to go to Jerusalem once a year, and there's where the Holy Spirit is, and he's behind a veil. Do you know how big that veil was that ripped? The historians say that it was 40 feet wide, 20 feet tall, and 4 inches thick. And when Jesus died and gave up the ghost, it was ripped from the top to the bottom. The Holy Spirit was no longer in that temple. I love that verse that says, I have not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But he's revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Amen.
Most preachers are afraid to go there. They stop right that. One day we'll know by and by all about it. Well, the Word says the Holy Spirit in you can teach you all things. And bring all things to remembrance. He searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, that you can know the things that are freely given to you of God. Over and over and over, there's many scriptures like that. Well, we just kind of pick and choose what we want to believe. But I'm telling you, doors are opened. Holy Ghost is manifesting. Last week's message, I tell you what, I travailed for hours at Pastor Jack's church. I went before the Lord and I said, God, I got to see the miracles. I got to see the manifestation of the power of God. I've just got to see it. You're no respecter of persons. You gave 70 the power to go about raising the dead, casting out demons, healing all manners of disease. Why are we seeing it in the church? And you know what the Holy Ghost come back and said to me? Believe my word. That's the greatest miracle. You want the miraculous and you've left the supernatural behind you. You don't know how to walk in the Spirit. You're not believing my word. Don't even know how to believe for a toenail or a toothache or a headache. Got to run to a doctor for everything. Everything. Oh, God, it's fear. We're so gripped in fear. We have yet to learn to walk in the Spirit. Now, you know, do I believe in doctors? Of course I do. Do I believe if you ain't got the faith to do that, don't do that. If you ain't got the faith to believe for your healing, don't do it. But I have always pushed the envelope. I want to believe. I want to believe. It's kind of important to me to believe. If there are no doctors, I believe. Because I've been practicing this a while. I can remember one time I had strep throat so bad. I remember I worked in dentistry. Strep throat, the blisters, I was only a very, very baby Christian. I hadn't been saved very long, and I mean I had strep throat. And I'm not advocating anybody do this, but this was me. This was me. You know, if I'm going to serve God, I'm young. I'm only 22 years old when I accepted Jesus, when he appeared to me in my living room. I'm young. And I'm getting ready to surrender my life to this man named Jesus. And I was alone for the first year, alone. I'm talking nobody wanted to hang out with me. All my party buddies didn't come to the door knocking with their bongs anymore. Because I'm preaching to them all. I didn't have anybody. My family wouldn't have nothing to do with me. But there was something in me that said this to God. If this word is true, and you are true, then I want to believe it. I don't want to live in it. I don't want to just play. Because I can go out here and have a good time. If it's not going to work, then just leave me alone and let me just do my thing. If this is not real, if this is not the real thing. But God said, God proved to me many, many times because I put him to the test. You know, the word does say prove me. Does it not say prove me? Well, this is just me. I'm young. I'm feisty. I'm a fighter. I just wanted to see God. I want to prove he's real and he really means what he says. So I had these blisters, right? Couldn't swallow. Had a fever of 105 degrees. I am sicker than a dog. Had strep throat. I don't know what was going on with me, but I was so sick. And I went before God. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and cried and cried and cried. And finally, and I had opportunity. This is the other thing. I had opportunity to get my hands on antibiotics anytime I wanted to. But I wouldn't take them. I refused to take them. Because I've got to see if this is real. This is, you know, I'm ready to commit to you, God. I'm ready to really commit my life to serve you. But I've got to see you show up. And I have to believe. So I got on my knees before the Lord. And I just remember something inside me broke. And I said to God, I said, I am not going to no doctors. I'm not advising anybody to do this, but this is what I did. I said, I am not going to no doctor. I mean, I meant this. I was serious. I said, I'm going to die right here in this living room. And these kids are going to be without a mother. But I'm going to die right here in this living room if you don't show up and show up now and heal me. Either you are who you say you are or you are not. Either I'm going to serve you and believe your word and you're going to show up or I'm not. I'm just going to do my own thing. Instantly, I was healed. Strep throat completely, instantly, boom, gone. Hay fever, I mean, like nothing was wrong with me, instantly. But I meant that in my heart. I wasn't playing. I was not playing with God. And God knew it. God knew I'm serious about God. You know, you pack kids up Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights and fight devils to get there. You mean what you're doing. But I've seen God heal me, heal me, heal me so many times like that. Because God is the healer. God is the healer. And he gives doctors wisdom and direction and helps and medicines and things to help your body heal itself. Your body was made to heal itself, by the way, if you take care of it. If you eat right, exercise. And even if you don't do all that stuff, God's merciful. And will heal you. But I'm telling you, I've had many, many times God's healed me of many, many things. And it's really based on you believing. What can you believe for? Well, some folks believe in different than other folks' level of believing. It is a spiritual growth. We grow spiritually. We are constantly It says that we are changed from glory to glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the part is who is in you, helping you grow in these things. Holy Spirit is the one who's helping me minister these things. I depend on the Holy Spirit all the time. I'm very aware that He's in me. He is the Comforter. I'm going to tell you something else about the Comforter. He's your helper. If you're faced with a situation too big for you, you got a helper on board. He's the one that's come along beside you to help you. But you have to let Him help you. You have to turn Him loose to do it. And prayer is a powerful way to do that. A good example of this is I had a piano. My grandmother was a music teacher. She had two old-fashioned upright pianos. She gave me one of them. But let me tell you something, that thing was heavy. If I needed to move that piano, you think I'm going to be able to move that piano by myself? Do you know there's things in your life you're not going to be able to move by yourself? There's problems, there's situations you're going to find yourself in. You're not going to be able to move it by yourself, but you need to know you've got some who's got some muscles who can work with you. But you have to let Him work with you to move that thing. Another verse about that. Romans 8:11. I'm pouring out something here. There's some good things that He's filling us with. So Romans chapter 8 says, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, and you got to settle that, yes, He's in me. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and you have never spoken in tongues, what you waiting on? He's here. Why wait? Get filled. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And there's no tarrying anymore. The only time Jesus ever told them to tarry was when they were in the upper room, because the Holy Spirit hadn't come to planet Earth yet. He hadn't sent Him back yet. Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Well, let's establish that. Look what it says. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, we all think that means that one day when we die, the Holy Spirit's going to raise us up out of the grave, right? And that is true. But that's not what this verse is saying at all. This verse is not talking about that. This verse is talking about your mortal bodies. In other words, it's a death-bound body. If you're dead, your body's already dead. It's not mortal anymore. It's a dead body. This is talking about your mortal body. In other words, it's death-bound. It's going to die. It's not dead yet. But while you're still in this mortal body, a death-bound body that one day will die, the Holy Spirit is promised to quicken your mortal, death-bound body that will someday die, but it's not dead yet. And He promised in this promise, in this word, that He will quicken it. That means to make it alive. Bring life to it. That is just good. That is just good. So when you know the Holy Spirit is in you, and you know He is in you to quicken you, this dead, death-bound body, by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, a lot of people, when they read the Bible, they don't know, is this the Holy Spirit talking about the Spirit of God or my spirit? You just have to seek God about some of these things. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Do you know in John it says that you have no need that any man teach you, but the same anointing, that anointing is the Holy Spirit who's in you, teaching you all things. So many scriptures about the Holy Spirit. Get a concordance. My suggestion is do what I did. I didn't have a computer. We didn't have computers back 30 years ago. All I had was a little old ragged out Bible that I packed everywhere. And had a little old concordance. And I started doing research on my own. I found over 30 times in the New Testament, God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. In other words, He just don't respect nobody's person. How clear can that get? He don't care if you got money. He don't care if you don't have money. He don't care if you're cute or if you're ugly. He don't care. He don't care if you come from a rich family or a poor family. He don't care. He does not respect persons. He don't care what country you're born in. He does not respect your person. No, anybody impressing God. But I'll tell you what impresses God is believing His word. Believe His word. Amen. Believe every single scripture you can find. Believe it. Believe it. Amen. Get your believer kicked in gear. Start your engines. Get in the right direction with God. You're challenged. You're challenged to believe, aren't we? Look at Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. It'd be like saying, oh, foolish Midwayonians. Oh, foolish Grace Fellowship of Midway. He's talking to a church here. Call them foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Hearing of faith. Look, drop down to verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Faith is not of your body. There's not one ounce of faith in your finger. There's not one ounce of faith in your eyeball. There's not one ounce of faith in your toe. There's not one ounce of faith in your foot. There's not one ounce of faith in your body. Not an ounce. Not even an nth of it. Faith is of the Spirit. Faith is a spiritual force of the human spirit. And that's where it is. That's where it's happening, Jack. In the Spirit. Faith is birthed in your human spirit. Now, how do you get faith? Romans 17. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Hearing faith, that is. Hearing the word of God, which is a faith word. The word of God is a faith word. God is a faith God. Everything God said, it happens. So everything He says has to be very carefully selected. Because anything He says happens. It's a matter of you believing it, so it'll happen for you. God already knows if He says that it happens. And that's why He's selective and very carefully selects what He says and what He has written in that word. Because He knows He meant it, He said it, it'll happen. But He's waiting on a church to raise up and believe it in the Spirit. This is good preaching. This is truth. It's just simple truth. But there's not an ounce of faith in your body. And you can't believe the word of God in your head. You can't believe it in your toe. You can't believe it in your nose or your ears. You've got to believe it in your heart. Romans 10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Well, you're going to believe anything you need. And I have cried so many tears and been so upset with God and angry at God. I don't understand why it's so hard to live for you. Well, because I was trying to live for Him in my flesh. I was trying to live for Him in my emotions. I was trying to live for Him in my soul realm. I was trying to live for Him in my head. I was trying to make my toe do something that my toe couldn't do. I was trying to make my mouth do something my mouth couldn't do. I was trying to make my eyes and my head do something I couldn't do it in those areas of my being. I had to learn to walk in the Spirit. That's where it had to happen. You want it to happen, it's got to happen there. You want that truck or your car to run? What do you got to do? You got to do certain things to make it work. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I'll give you keys to the kingdom. Yes. But they operate a certain way. Mm-hmm. Not because you just want them to happen. You got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Mommy. Walk in the Spirit. It's a challenging way of life, but it's a whole lot better way of life than walking in your old flesh. Mommy. And walking in your own imagination. Walking in your soul realm. It is not going to happen. God's spiritual powers are not, the powers of God, are the things of the kingdom, are not operating through your flesh. It's operating through the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Well, Father, I just seal this word today. I thank You for it, teaching us how to pray, teaching us how to believe. Thank You, God, for Your precious word. Thank you, Father, establishing us in your word. And you said, Lord, if we wouldn't believe, we wouldn't be established. So I thank you, Father, for establishing us in your word. In Jesus' name.